This last Sunday of Ordinary Time, we celebrate Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. Jesus never referred to himself as a king. If anything, he tried to keep people from referring to him as such. How many times after he performed a miracle did he tell the person who was just healed or forgiven, "Don't tell anyone, the people are trying to make me out to be a king." And yet, in mockery, the sign that hangs above Jesus' head on that cross, the I-N-R-I, a Latin acronym, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Iudaeorum, Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. The Jews called him that, at least the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court, so they could convince Rome that Jesus was guilty of treason, thus meriting death. But King of the Jews doesn't even come close to who Jesus really is. He's the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, and that's why it sounds pretty good to me, at least, to refer to him as Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, of all that is and everything beyond it. Even though Jesus didn't refer to himself as a king, he did love to talk about the kingdom. If you add up all the references Jesus makes to the kingdom in the four Gospels, he speaks about that 145 times. That's because it's the origin of Jesus, it's the destiny of Jesus, and he wants to return there with the lambs in the arms of the Good Shepherd. He came here on a rescue mission to save us and to set us free and to carry us home to that kingdom, of which by our baptism we are already subject. It's a question of whether we are loyal citizens of that kingdom, and that's determined by how we live out our faith here on earth. But in the first reading in the gospel today, we see how Jesus really looked upon himself, not as a king, but as a shepherd. Not only one who, look, an altar call, not only one who separates sheep from goats, but also one who feeds his sheep, as he does at every Mass, and one who's willing to lay down his life for his sheep, which he did for us on the cross. That's a king who is a servant. And Jesus redefines leadership and authority because for him, whoever wanted to be the leader of all must be the servant of all, living out in his own life and ministry that the last will be first. Servant leadership is the kind of authority all of us are called to exercise, whether it's in our marriages, our families, in our schools, in the workplace, in this parish, wherever we find ourselves. If we are called to lead, it is only because we have first learned to follow. And once we have learned to follow, if we're following Jesus, then we will be a leader like he was. And that means to be a servant of others, laying down our life for others in service as Jesus Christ has laid down his life, a good shepherd for me and for you, all of these lost, wounded, and wandering lambs. But in the gospel today, Jesus speaks these words just before he lays down his life. In the next chapter, he'll experience his betrayal, his arrest, thrown in jail, a mock trial, the sentence of death, and to begin his passion. But he's looking beyond. He's looking beyond his death. He's even looking beyond his resurrection. He's still talking about events that will happen when he comes again from heaven in glory as our king. And with the sickle in hand, he'll be separating the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats, the sinner from the saints. And we who want to be in that number when the saints go marching in have to take him at his word. That if we're not living our faith here by sharing and caring, giving and forgiving, treating other people the way God has treated us in Christ, whatever we fail to do for others, we're failing to do for him. Whatever evil we do unto others, we're doing to him. And so he's given us now, he's given us today to make better choices and to repent of the poor ones, to try harder, to treat people better, to pray more and sin less, those baby steps that will lead us to the kingdom so we can see our King face to face and enjoy his warm embrace forever. Now, let's talk a little bit about the history of this feast. So many things that we celebrate in the Catholic Church, we as Catholics have been celebrating for thousands of years. And yet the Feast of Christ the King is relatively young because it's only been in existence for 95 years. This feast was instituted in 1925 by the Holy Father, at that time Pope Pius XI. And the reason why he instituted it is because he needed a suffering church to understand that as worldly governments were oppressing them, they have a greater king who's already died to set them free, who already won the war, so we can successfully emerge from the field of battle. Pius XI in 1925 is looking at the situation in Europe. They had just finished the Great War, what history records as World War I. And yet it was a sloppy peace that ended that war that already planted the seeds for the next conflict that would become World War II. And rather than having nations who were at war seeking peace together, instead the seeds of nationalism, fascism, Nazism, socialism, and communism all took root after that war ended. And faithful Catholics all throughout Europe were beginning to experience severe political oppression because of their leaders. All of these were totalitarian states, and by their nature, a totalitarian state does not allow people to freely worship the God of their choosing. Instead, they infringe on religious liberty because you are not supposed to turn to a higher authority. In Nazism, fascism, in socialism, in communism, the highest authority is the state. The government will solve all of your problems, but there's the problem. No man can save us. No government can save us. Only the God of Jesus Christ. Pius XI then instituted this feast to put world leaders on notice that their power is only earthly. They should not be able to have such dominion over other people to take away their right to worship God as they choose or to sentence them to die if they oppose the government. But it was also to let the people know that we serve a greater king who also serves us. Whereas most earthly kings sentence people to death, our king let himself be put to death so that we can be free. That is how much God loves us when he sent his son to be like us in all things but sin to save us and to set us free. But we see even with the institution of that feast, it did not solve Europe's problems because all of those political systems are still in evidence to this day, and there are still some people who believe that those political systems are going to save us or somehow set us free or make our lives better. But we've seen just in this year, in 2020, during this terrible time of pandemic, how much power the government thinks they can exercise over its people. My brother is a pastor in Los Angeles, and for the fourth time this year, his congregation today is having mass in the parking lot because they are told by the government they may not enter their church. When we allow the government to take away our religious liberty, that's not the first thing that they're going to take away, and it won't be the last. And so that is a time for people of faith to choose. Which are we going to serve, God or man? Jesus Christ, he already knows the answer. Once again, he has already won the war. But as you know, I always have my nose in the books. I always like to look back as a means of figuring out how we can go forward. And I want to tell you a little story about people in the year 304, 1700 years ago, in what today is called Tunisia. Back then it was called Carthage, and it was a Roman occupied province in North Africa. In the year 304, it was almost three centuries after Jesus had died, and yet it was still a crime throughout the Roman Empire to be a Christian. That's why there were no churches. It would have been a fool's errand to build one because all the Romans would do is find it, lock everyone in it, and burn them alive. And so it was the third century in which our Christian ancestors had to worship in secret and do so clandestinely. And in Carthage, in the year 304, 49 people were arrested one Sunday morning. What were they doing? Were they rioting in the streets? Were they hurting other people? Were they burning things down? They were attending mass. They were in the private home of a man named Octavius Felix, who invited the priest and the people to his home because they desperately wanted to hear God's word in hope of freedom from this imperial oppression and desperately desired and hungered for the body of Christ in the Eucharist. They hurt no one. All 49 of them were arrested. They were put on trial before the Roman proconsul of Carthage named Anulinus. And he put Octavius Felix on the stand first and said, "You know what the penalty is for worshiping Jesus in the Roman Empire. We by rights can put all of you to death. Why would you choose to do such a thing?" His answer was very simple. In Latin, Octavius Felix spoke truth to power when he said to Anulinus, "Sine Domenica non possumus." Without Sunday, we don't want to live. Without the Eucharist, we cannot live. Octavius Felix and all 48 of those arrested with them for no crime other than choosing to worship God when they were told they couldn't, each of them was given an opportunity. If you deny Jesus Christ as God, if you're willing to offer incense and sacrifice, recognizing Caesar as your God and your emperor, you will save your lives and we won't kill your family. All 49 of them chose Jesus. All 49 of them chose our king. All 49 of them were tortured without mercy and put to death. And what was their crime? They wanted to pray. We can learn from our ancestors. Once they found something worth giving their life for, they found something worth living for. And so today and every day, my friends, Jesus Christ is the king. But do we recognize his kingship? Are we going to allow him to be the king in our home and in our hearts, in our marriage and in our family, in our thoughts and in our actions, on the internet, what we choose to watch on the television, what we say about someone else at work, how we vote, how we pray, whether we pray? If Jesus Christ is king, let him reign. Let us stand and profess our faith.